Okay. Buen día, mis amigos.
Buen día.
Hey, ¿cómo están?
Bien.
Hey, you passed 102. Great. That's wonderful. Super. But meditating on all that we have been singing and hearing this morning, just got captivated again by who the Lord is. And then I thought of this verse: with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Just amazes me, and I'm sure it did to you this morning, to think that the God of creation, the mighty God that knows all those names of those stars of which we heard this morning, he fervently desires to meet with us. Luke chapter 22, verse 15. I'm not going to talk about that, but it was amazing. I just thank the Lord for the opportunity to share this morning in the fellowship here and to be able to just listen, be fed from the word, and to just rejoice with each one of you. Thankful that this morning I can report to you a few things about the Camiri Christian School. By the way, we've been 40 years in Bolivia, not 30 as a couple. I've been almost, 65. I was born there, so that gives you an idea. So anyhow, let me just say a few words. Quincy asked me to say a few words this morning about the school and our ministry, and then I'll get into the message. I trust. It doesn't happen to you. What happened to that little boy that went to school to church for first time? He was in church, and then at the end, his daddy said, "How'd you like church?" Said, "I liked the singing, but the commercial at the end was awfully long." I hope this is not too long of a commercial this morning, so let me guide you quickly through this report. I thank the Lord for 63 years of the school, Camiri Christian School, being able to function with 377 students this year. 21 graduated last night, and thankful for each one. About 78% of all those who attend our school are non-believers. And so every day they have the opportunity, 200 days of a year, to hear God's word, repeat a verse, say a prayer with whoever is leading it. And what has been really exciting to me has been to visit a number of assemblies and also churches of different denominations and see some of our students that are now leading in those churches. And I'm just excited to see what God has even more so in the coming years. I'm thankful to the Lord for a brother who has come to administrate the school, and things are starting to look up a lot more than they did about 2 years ago. Some of the idea on finances have gotten a whole lot better, and we have been able to cover the teacher salaries this year, which is one big help, and thanks to the Lord for that. We are in the project of finishing off a building, and that should be done. We've now built a new chapel so that the students can gather in that chapel to get their Bible training during the Friday chapels and other times, special times. And we are thankful to the Lord for that. We still lack about $15,000 to finish that project off, but we know the Lord will provide in his time and in his way. I am very proactively trying to establish a board that will become the owner of the school. I would like to transition that way and let local brothers be the ones who take on the vision for today. There was an original vision, but that was back in 1956. We live in 2018, and we need to upgrade and contextualize it and bring it up to date. And so we are looking to the Lord for help from these folks as we hopefully by the end of 19 we can establish a board that will be the owner of the school. The school is a wonderful ministry, and every year we pray and thank you for praying and giving to this project. But we are hoping to become even a greater impact, not only to the students, but also to the parents. And so we are going to start a plan called Love Your Child, Have a Good Marriage, Improve Your Marriage. And so we are going to be giving seminars throughout the year so that we can touch the parents. Those are the most important people, so we can touch them as a family and be able to impact not only the 370 students or 400, if the Lord would be pleasing to him to do for us, but impact a whole network of families, and that's what we have in mind. So thank you again for helping us with the Christian school, for being generous and praying for us. The Lord is really moving this in the direction I believe that we need to go. I'm not saying that this is the will of the Lord. I'm not trying to establish that. All I'm trying to say is that we see that the school is now more and more going to become a local effort, a local project, and that's the way we want to go. I just came from Santiago de Chile, and I was there for almost 2 weeks giving a seminar, two seminars, on Bible study, and this is what takes me all over Latin America. I've had about 18 of these this year, being in a number of countries, all the way from Chile, Argentina, Paraguay, Uruguay, and Bolivia, and other countries in Latin America. And as I look to next year, that's the direction we're also headed for, to have these seminars in a number of countries. There is no way that people can be trained quick enough to be able to go back to their churches or to be in their assemblies and be trained in a more specific way on how to study the Bible. We use the Thompson Chain Reference Bible as a tool, and it's a wonderful tool. Kind of an old Bible, but it really does help so that people can follow a chain, a thematic chain, and be able to study God's Word. And that's what has taken up most of my time this year, and probably will be doing that next year also. So thanks again for praying for us. We are based in Sucre, but I'm not there most of the time. About 70% of the time I'm out on the in different countries teaching and helping people, not only in Bible study, but also in marriage enrichment and family care. Those topics always seem to be important wherever I am able to go. So thank you again for your help in helping us to be the missionaries that we need to be in Latin America. Merry Christmas. Really? Is it merry? Happy holidays? Is it really happy holidays? What would the parents of John Allen Chow say today? I know they said, we forgive those who have killed our son. Would they say Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays? Would you say it? Can I say it? Not sure. Oh, yeah, it's easy to say. It's easy to sing. But I'm not sure we can really say it from the bottom of our hearts. Speaking with a brother who has helped me many times and came down with some sickness that is super rare, couldn't speak, couldn't walk, couldn't do anything, and very close to death. But as he recovered and he's walking with a cane, he says to me, why is it that the Lord permitted this to happen to me? A lady, after one of the seminars, comes to me and says, help me. My son has become enslaved with pornography. What do I do? I took him to church and I taught him all that needed to be taught and I've done all those things. Why? And so this morning, I want to entitle this message, When God Doesn't Make Sense. Has that ever happened to you? You just wonder, why? How come, Lord? Why are these things happening to me? And can I really say Merry Christmas, Happy New Year? You see, the gospel is being preached around the world in Latin America, and I go into the malls and hear these beautiful Christmas carols, and the message is there, but people are not listening to them. Some people who do and have heard about Christ saying, it doesn't work, so I'm giving up, I'm not going that way. In fact, some Christians do that too. And we don't even need to talk about us necessarily here, although that would be good. But we just go back to Jonah. Jonah said, that doesn't work, I'm not going to follow your plan. And so he gave up. Other people, when they confront that question, why doesn't God make any sense? They try to rearrange the message and try to fix it up and say, if I only pray more, if I only fast more, if I only go to church more, if I only give more, then I will have the blessing of God upon my life. I know the term today is pretty popular, fake. That is a fake gospel. Let me assure you, that's not in the Bible. Because we are saved by grace. We are saved because of his work on the cross and what he has done for us. When problems and difficulties come to our lives, we want to run, many of us. But James says, count it all joy, when you're in different kinds of problems, diverse problems, many multicolored problems. Was James a sadist, wanting to take our joy? No. Are we supposed to be masochists and look for problems? No. But why does he say, count it all joy? Because when I have difficulties, I find that I'm weak. And that's when the Holy Spirit starts working in my life and changing things, attitudes and actions that are in my life. So, what is the message that I'm going to preach? Not the fake gospel, but I want to share with us this morning and with those who we share in Latin America, I want to share the message of Habakkuk. I know we don't usually have our devotions in Habakkuk. And you might even have a hard time finding it. If you go to Matthew, go four back, you will find Habakkuk. So, start looking. And you have that little piece of paper. That was not given to you for target practice. Okay? That was not given so that you can make a little airplane while I am talking this morning. That wasn't the reason either. But I want you to take that little piece of paper. Would you take it out right now? Take out your pen. This is not a sneaky way to get you to take notes this morning, but I want to do a visual. Please, take out your little piece of paper and your pen. Okay? If the left side is January 1st to 18, and the right side is December 31st, put the dot where you think you are today. Probably pretty close to the right side. Now, you put the dot there, okay? Now, I want you to make a line that goes toward the left. In other words, to January 1st, okay? So, you put the dot and then make a line back. November, October, September, August, July, June, May, April, March, February, and January. Hey, I got it right. That was good. Okay. Okay. Why am I having you do this? Because we tend to concentrate on that dot and do not remember all the things that the Lord has done for us all year long. Many times we forget that, and all we can think about is the problem I am going through right now, the difficulty I am going through right now. And we forget, and that's why Christmas is not a merry Christmas. So, if you've done that, and I will return again to that little diagram. Please open your Bible to Habakkuk, please. And I'm going to give you a bird's eye view of Habakkuk. I'm going to give you 3 points at the end, so when I'm done with that, you know I'm done with the message. So I'm steaming ahead to try to get there real fast. Okay? Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 2. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 2. By the way, who was Habakkuk? We don't know very much about him. We know that he was probably a choir director involved with music because of 319 and because of all the Selahs in chapter 3. He probably was involved with music. But we don't know much about him. His name means to cling. Now, look at verse 2. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and you will not hear? Have you ever been through that situation? Have you ever felt that? How long, Lord, how long am I to cry for this problem, this relationship, this issue? Lord, how long am I going to cry? Verse 3, why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention, arises. In other words, he was declaring the state of the people of God. They were into terrible sin. They were so far away from God. And just as an aside, if you're taking notes, Lamentation 2, verse 20, if I'm not mistaken, just shows you the condition of the people of God during that time. So, Habakkuk says, how long, Lord? And the Lord, in verse 5, responds. And he goes to verse 11, and he says, I'm going to take care of that issue. But the way I'm going to take care of it is not the way you're going to like it. You're not going to like what I'm going to do. I'm going to send, verse 6, the Chaldeans, who were the Babylonians. And they weren't very good people either. In fact, they were worse. So that's why in verse 12, we find him saying, Habakkuk, "Are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. You have appointed them for judgment, O Rock. You have marked them for correction. You are of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on wickedness." What was he saying? He's saying, "Lord, I know we don't do well. I know we do wrong. I know we're bad, but don't send worse people to punish us." And so, 2:22, verse 1, Habakkuk says, "Okay, I'm going to wait. I'm going to watch what God is going to do." So we have verse 1. "I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I'm corrected." Then the Lord says, "Write this on tablets." So what is he supposed to write? Well, I cannot pass up verse 4 because I'm going to come back to verse 4. 2:4, "Behold the proud." Look at the contrast. "Behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him. But the just shall live by faith." Just remember that and we will be back there. Now, there's five woes or five warnings. Look at verse 6. You want to look at verse 6. There's the first warning. "Woe to him who increases what is not his. How long?" In other words, his greed. Verse 9. "Woe to him who covets evil gain for his house." Woe. This is warnings against the Babylonians. Verse 12. Woe again. And verse 14, very important, he says, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." We'll be back to that verse. Verse 15, "Woe again to him who gives drink to his neighbor, pressing him to your bottle, even to make him drunk." Wow. Sensuality. And verse 19, idolatry. "Woe to him who says to wood, away, to silent stones, arise, it shall teach." Idolatry. There is five warnings in this book, and very important. Chapter 3, we have a song, a musical song. Verse 2 is a prayer, wonderful prayer. If somebody needs a verse to speak on in prayer meeting, that's a wonderful prayer. Verse 2. And so you have this song that he writes and sings. But I want to go to verse 16. 3:16 of Habakkuk that says, "When I heard, my body trembled, my lips quivered at the voice, rottenness entered my bones, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he comes up to the people, he will invade them with his troops." Verse 17. "Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vine, though the labor of the olive may fall, and the fields yield no fruit, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills." Okay. We have gone through Habakkuk, 56 verses, and I challenge you to study it. It's a deep, deep book, and we need to spend time meditating. When God doesn't make sense, what is his answer for each one of us? I think of us being on the mission field and having difficulties. relationship problems, financial issues, health issues, all these things that we face. What is the message that God is trying to get across to us? Number one, I believe he's saying, continue believing. Even though things don't go well and it isn't a Merry Christmas, I can continue believing that God is a sovereign God, the one that names all the stars and has put them in their place and has made you and me. I can still believe in him. That's why it says in chapter 2, verse 4, the just shall live by faith. Justification. Who does that come from? We know it comes from the Lord, from Jesus. For we are justified through faith. That is, being declared as righteous without sin. That's what he says. The just. Really, it means the people of integrity will walk by faith. Walk. He's talking about a style of life. Faith. What does faith mean? Faith means believing in God and obeying what he has told us to do. Believing in God and obeying what he has told us to do. The just shall live by faith. Number two. As I face the future, I not only continue to believe, but I continue to share about the Lord. So let me take you to verse 2, chapter 2 and verse 14. With the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The earth will be covered with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Why does he mention that? Because Babylon had been built with slave labor. And they were so proud of their city. And they thought they had everything under control. And nothing was going to defeat them. But the Lord says, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will go out throughout the earth. And that's what we're into. Taking that knowledge, trying to share with people about his word, sharing with others, number one, that salvation only comes through Jesus Christ and faith in him, but also who the Lord really is and what he wants to do in our lives. Let me return to John Allen Chau. Killed close to the Indian continent in an island that people from the Western world and really from around the world are not allowed to go. I've read a number of things about him. Some pro, some against. Some say he shouldn't have gone. He broke the rule. He shouldn't have been there. But others have contrasted him, not contrasted him, but brought a similarity between him and Jim Elliot, who also was from this area, and have said, along with Paul, how shall they call on him who they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring the glad tidings of good things. So, Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In Sucre, I was sharing with a head of a bank. In fact, he had come in a Sunday night. We usually preach the gospel on Sunday night. And he'd come into the assembly to hear the gospel. I shared that evening. We preached the gospel. Need to believe in Jesus. At the end, I shared with him John 3:16. You've heard it many times, more times than you can even remember. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall have everlasting life. And I said to Waldo, that's his name, Waldo. Waldo, I said, have you ever heard that verse? And he said to me, no, I have never heard that verse. And here is a head of a bank who has gone through university, has prepared, has... I would have never thought that Waldo had never heard that verse. But he hadn't. And being able to explain to a man with a high degree in economics, John 3:16. There are still people who need to hear about Jesus, need to hear about the glory of God, the knowledge of the glory of God going throughout the world. Do you know that most people around the world know about Coca-Cola? Most people. There's only two countries, at least from when that article was written, only two countries in the world that do not have Coca-Cola as a company in their country, and that is North Korea and Cuba. And you can understand why. But it's a tragedy, a travesty, that more people know about Coca-Cola than about Jesus Christ in the world. And I'm sure Seattle, Washington, there's people that don't know about the Lord either and have never even really considered or meditated on John 3:16. So, Lord, what do I do when you don't make sense? Keep on believing. Number two, keep on sharing. Number three, keep on waiting. Where do I get that from in Habakkuk? Well, let's go back to verse 16. 3:16, please. 3:16. When I heard, my body trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered my bones, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. I'm going to continue waiting upon the Lord. You and I, both of us, we need to continue waiting. With what attitude? Well, let's go to verse 18. Let's just cover verse 17. When all the finances go, because their economy was based on figs, on olives, it was an agricultural economy. And Habakkuk says, even if all that goes and there's no more cattle because the Babylonians have killed them all off, and they have destroyed our whole economy, even if that happens. Verse 18, you don't have to be a theologian. I will, number one, rejoice. In whom? In the Lord. I will joy in God, in the God of my salvation. Now, let me go back to 16. He talks a lot about trembling. Have you ever felt like trembling? trembling because you are fearful because you do not know what's going to happen. You tremble, you shake. I have, I'm sure you have too. When you're waiting for a health report, is it cancer or not cancer? Am I going to have surgery or not? You tremble. You tremble. Habakkuk says, I tremble because, Lord, I don't know what it all entails when we say, when God doesn't make sense. What is going to happen? I tremble. But when I tremble, I will change that by rejoicing in the Lord. And I will joy in God, in the God of my salvation. Why? Well, verse 19, because when I'm on the ledge, that's just my language. But that's what he's really saying. He will make my feet like deer's feet. I've never seen a deer on a ledge in a mountain. I've never seen that. But I have seen a lot of goats on the mountain, on the ledge. And, you know, they're not fearful. They're not saying, no, I'm going to fall. I'm going to go there. No. They're all secure. They have security. Habakkuk says, even though I'm in a difficult spot and I'm in a tight spot, I will trust in the Lord, who will take me up to heights that I've never been to. Those who wait upon the Lord shall what? Say it with me. Shall renew their strength. They shall mount up their wings like eagles. They will run. They will walk and not get tired. So, I go back to the drawing. What do you see today? Just that little dot? December 9. Things are real difficult. Why not go back? Why did I make a big circle? Because I want us to see God's greater circle. God's greater plan. He's sovereign. He's doing more than we could ever think. And as we meditate upon those things that he has done for us, we can be encouraged. And then it can be a Merry Christmas. Then it can be a happy holiday. Because why? Because God is in charge. He is sovereign. And he is working all things together, not to work out for good. He is working his sovereign plan in us so that we may rejoice. Faith. So much to say about faith. Chapter 11 of Hebrews talks about Abel. It talks about Abraham. It talks about Moses. It talks about all these. And it says at the end, they believed, but they didn't see the results. They didn't see the results. And we might get at the end of the circle and not see the results. But are you going to continue to believe? The just shall live by faith, a style of life. We will continue to share that God is great. Messages like we heard this morning and messages that we heard through the Word of God. God is great. We continue to preach that. But we'll continue to wait. And as we wait upon Him, our strength will be renewed. G. Campbell Morgan said, our joy is in proportion to our trust. And our trust is in proportion to our knowledge of God. Joy. We want to have joy. We sang about joy this morning. It means I will have true joy when I really believe in God. And I believe that He is going to fulfill His plan, not my plan. He is a sovereign God. Amen. Amen. Want to sing a last song? Let's sing 443, please, in our hymn books. Maybe I can ask you to play for us. 443. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. 443, let's stand as we sing, and then I will close in prayer. Our prayer today. Draw me near. Draw me near. Lord Jesus, we want to walk with you even as we leave this place. We want to keep on believing. Lord, when things don't make sense, help us to keep on believing that you're the sovereign God. Keep on sharing and keep on waiting. Help us, dear Lord, as we head for a new week of work and of relationships. Lord, may we our eyes be on you as we draw near to you. Thank you for bringing us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.